MSO New Sports, giving voice to the North Shore. Powered by Taparo Capital Management. This is MSO News Sports, and we are joined by State Rep Jenny Armini from Marblehead, Swampscott, and a little portion of Lynn in the 8th Essex District. And Rep Armini, welcome. Thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me. I always love to talk to you.
Oh, man, it's been so long, and you've got one year as State Rep. And I guess, Jenny, what would you say? What's this first year been like for you? What can you share with us?
Sure. It's been, it's been exciting and a very big learning experience. I mean, it's when you walk into a chamber of 160 people, you know, you realize that you are one voice among many, and you need to develop the relationships that can help you get your priorities worked on. And I've just really enjoyed the process of getting to know my colleagues, getting to know the process in depth, and you know, figuring out how to get the work done within that system. It's been incredibly exciting. People are really generous. My colleagues are incredible. I think government gets a bad rap. And honestly, I've never worked with a better group of people.
You know, there does seem to be a difference between what's happening at the Mass legislature and what's happening at the in Washington at the legislature, the Senate and House down there, as far as getting work done. Would you agree with that?
Oh, that's exactly right. You know, Washington is just mired in politics. You know, the parties don't talk to each other, individuals don't talk to each other, and they're at a stalemate. That is not the case in the Massachusetts legislature. There is a ton of collaboration. We have a fantastic new governor and lieutenant governor, and we get things done. And it's not just that, oh, the Democrats have the majority. There are many different flavors of Democrat. So there's a lot of compromise. And there's a lot of talking to each other, and it works. There's also goodwill, and I think that's what's lacking in Washington as well.
All right. So now, in this past year, there was a tax package passed, and there's a lot of legislation in there. Or a lot of elements to that tax package, mm-hmm. I should say. What do you pull out as important accomplishments from this past year?
Yeah, you know, it's the first major tax cut in more than 20 years. It's a $1 billion package the governor signed. And what I love about it is that it focuses on people who need relief. Seniors, for instance, we doubled the amount of the senior circuit breaker from $1,200 a year to $2,400 a year. Now, what that does is if seniors have tax bills and water bills that are more than 10% of their annual income, they can get this tax credit. That is money in the bank. That's not a deduction. That's a credit. So that's incredibly important. We doubled the renter deduction. We have a tax cut for businesses, and we now have the most generous child and family tax cut in the whole country.
All right. Other pieces. I know there. When you look at other accomplishments in this past year, mm-hmm. what would you include in that? I know there are a lot of educational related things. What?
Yeah, I am. My proudest vote, honestly, thus far, has been making school meals free for all students in the Commonwealth. We know that kids cannot learn if their stomachs are empty, and people would be surprised to learn how many kids rely on their school meals as their only meals of the day. There's a lot of hidden hunger out there. People you don't think are struggling are really struggling. And families, I mean, you see it in food banks. Food banks cannot keep up with the demand. And so for kids to be able to go to school and get a breakfast and a lunch and rely on that every single day is incredibly important. We also made community college free for adults 25 and over. Now, the point of that is to help people get the education they need to move up the economic ladder. These are people who, you know, they've got some work experience, but they're stalled because they weren't able to access education. This gives them the opportunity, and this is what will help people get into the middle class and become responsible taxpaying citizens. So I'm very excited about that, and we've actually seen a big jump in enrollment in our community colleges as a result.
Now, I know that, you know, when you talk about food at the public school level for students, you know, K through 12 and so on, pre-K, I guess, 2 through 12, but there's been a big paradigm shift in that in the last decade. It used to be like you had to complete the forms for free and reduced lunch and all of that, but now the paradigm shift has been significant in the fact that you're reaching everybody. You're not, you know, there's no way people are being left out, and somehow or other it works budget-wise, too, I would imagine.
Well, you know, we were able to pay for this through what we call the Fair Share Amendment or the Millionaire's Tax. So I don't know if you remember, but half of that money goes to transportation, half of that money goes to education. And we've made the link between food and education. Like I said, you cannot learn if your stomach is empty. And there are a lot more empty stomachs out there than there used to be. I remember when I was a kid, there were different colored tickets. You'd get in line, and if you paid for lunch, it was a blue ticket. If you had reduced lunch, it was a yellow ticket. If you got free lunch, it was a pink ticket. And everyone knew who was getting free and reduced lunch because of the color of the ticket. That is humiliating, and a lot of kids went without as a result. This way, the burden is on no one. You just get in line. Nobody knows, you know, what's going on. You just, if you're hungry, you go up and eat. And that's, you know, that's how it should be.
Jenny, I want to ask you about Kings Beach. But before I do that, I want to kind of wrap up this part of the interview in the sense that are there other accomplishments that you want to talk about or that you think the legislature accomplished in the past year?
Sure. I'm very proud that the House passed a comprehensive gun control bill. The Senate is now working on their version, and then we will go into conference committee and, you know, fight about the details. I am extremely optimistic that by the end of the session, ends on July 31st, Massachusetts will have a comprehensive gun control bill. We are one of the safest, I think we are the safest, when it comes to the rate of death by guns. And what statistics show is that states that have the toughest gun laws have the lowest rate of death by firearm. So, you know, as technology, it's incredible how much of what we work on is trying to keep up with technology and adjusting the laws to deal with the changes technology brings, right? So in the case of guns, you have something called ghost guns, where you can actually, by ordering parts online, put together a gun in your home. And it's not traceable because it doesn't have a serial number. It's not a traditional gun. And Boston, in particular, has seen something like a 230% rise in ghost guns that they're confiscating. And so this bill will address that by requiring the serialization of guns. And if it's not serialized, i.e. a ghost gun, the police will now be able to confiscate it, whereas they aren't now. So I'm really proud of that. And I think we'll see that, like I said, by the end of the session. Just recently, we made revenge porn a crime. Believe it or not, Massachusetts was only one of two states that did not have revenge porn in their statute, us and South Carolina. So South Carolina, hopefully, will be on their own when the governor signs this bill. It does have to go through the Senate first. So lots of good stuff happening.
All right. So right now, you guys are working on the FY25 budget, which would kick in, let's say, July 1 of 2024, right? There you go, yeah.
August 1, 2024.
But we're understanding or hearing that revenues or state revenues are down at this point, which would go into the data to create a budget for this next year. So what can you share with us about incoming revenues to the state, and why are they down?
Yeah, it's really interesting. We enjoyed surplus revenues for 30 straight months. Now, the past 6 months, revenues have been down. We are still taking in more money, but they're just not at the rate that we had been taking in. So I don't want people to think that, you know, the state is still doing well, but there are big caution signs, right? And it's not clear, to be honest, why revenue is down in Massachusetts, but we have to adjust our expectations for FY25. We cannot be as ambitious as we tried to be in FY24. So it's really about just adjusting down. But we are still growing.
All right. Well, here's what people need to do is go out and bet on the Super Bowl coming up. I mean, that could help out. I mean, we just got to push this big game, if you will, and go to the betting parlors there, or go online or whatever to do that. Yeah.
Well, and it's always fun to watch Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift.
Oh, man. Who are you rooting for, the Chiefs or the 49ers?
I don't know.
You know the Patriots aren't in it this year. You know that, right?
Yeah, well, it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking. My daughter's a big Taylor Swift fan, so I may have to go with the Chiefs, but I don't have a dog in this fight.
You know, I watch the games, and I actually like Kansas City, so, you know, with or without Taylor Swift, to be quite honest with you. Probably without, but I'll tell you, Travis Kelce made some huge catches on Sunday.
Yeah,
man, he was
fire.
Yeah, he was unbelievable. So
on fire.
So I think we're looking at a decent Super Bowl anyway. All right. I know we had one other thing to talk about, I guess, and let's talk about King's Beach. Tell our listeners about this issue. This is, I know you and I were talking before we started. I was reflecting back to the summer where the state was putting out all the information on all the closed beaches due to water bacteria or water conditions. And, of course, King's Beach was always on that list, whether, you know, Swampscott, Lynn combined King's Beach. So what can you share with us about any remediation that might possibly work for the King's Beach pollution issues?
So both communities, Lynn and Swampscott, that share King's Beach are under consent decrees from the EPA to clean up the water. That is the groundwater and the sewage that is going into the water of King's Beach, into Nahant Bay. So this is an enormous problem that takes time. On the Swampscott side, the challenge is fixing the pipes. These are very old clay pipes that have cracked over time, and that they're leaking sewage into the water. On the Lynn side, you've got we think it's the root of the problem is illegal hookups, plumbing hookups. And so both communities are working very hard to fix the root of the problem. What we would like to do while that's happening, right, that's ongoing, fixing those pipes, that is ongoing. We'd like to come up with a way to use technology to open the beach as soon as possible. It's a big priority for both communities, but especially Lynn, where you have a city of 100,000 people. It is the only beach. It is an environmental justice community where, you know, the housing, particularly in the summer, you don't have a lot of housing in the central air in Lynn. People rely on that beach to go and cool off in the summer. And so there is a task force, and it's made up of the mayor of Lynn, the Lynn legislative delegation, Lynn Water and Sewer, the town of Swampscott, and we've been able to engage the new Secretary of Environmental Affairs in this problem. And we're trying to come up with this sort of third way to open the beach while working on the big problem. And we're talking about things like using ultraviolet rays to clean the water, or another idea is expanding the pipe further into Nahant Bay to move the sewage out and rely on dilution to get rid of the bacteria. So, you know, we're tossing around many different ideas. As you can imagine, they're all expensive.
Yeah.
And so that's our task right now. We really want to open the beach as soon as possible.
You know, I don't mean to make light of this, Jenny, but I think it's your district, right, that in Swampscott and that portion of Lynn, right? Your tiny portion of Lynn is that Kings Beach district or near it, right?
It is so beautiful. It is. And, you know, that's the thing. We brought the Secretary of Environmental Affairs to the beach so she could see it. And she was blown away by how beautiful it is. It is a gorgeous resource for the state and for the city and for Swampscott. And it's a tragedy that it can't be utilized. So it's my hope that, you know, by engaging her, and we have a terrific state senator in Brendan Creighton. He has been working on this problem far longer than I have. And he's put so much energy and so much effort into this. And I just think by bringing the right people to the table, and again, now we have a terrific governor and lieutenant governor with a Secretary of Environmental Affairs that really cares about this. And so I'm hopeful, but it's a big lift.
Yeah, I was going to mention Senator Creighton. Brendan Creighton, his district obviously is this mirrors yours as far as that. Plus, obviously, you know, and all of Lynn. Yeah,
August.
Yeah, exactly.
As well. He's amazing.
I didn't mean to put all the blame on you. You know what?
Here's the thing. I've only been in for a year, so I know it's not my fault. But I assure you, it is my mission to fix it.
Well, you know, and I did a number. I used to do a lot of interviews with Lori Ehrlich, the predecessor, in that 8th district seat, and she was working hard on it too. You know, in some ways, I think it's better than it was, and maybe not in other ways. It's weird, but you know, I live near not far from there too. But so it's anyways, whatever. You know, it's a lot of work, and
we don't want. You know, you make a really good point. It's so sad that we are going to have another generation of kids not having access to that beach, right? I mean, as you point out, Lori was working on this with Senator Creighton. So these kids just, you know, they go down to the beach, they see the flags, they can't go in. Yeah. Some of them do go in. I'll be driving down Lynn Shore Drive, and I'll see kids in that water with red flags because they have nowhere else to go.
No, I hear you. Right. So, there's a lot of work going on. I get it. And but you're right. Everything's expensive. So that in itself will probably add to the timetable for sure for anything getting done. But at least it does seem as if some issues seem to be much clearer today than they were 2 years ago. Does that sound right to you?
Yes. Yes. I think that is absolutely right. I think it's there. And again, a change in leadership helps with that. You know, like I said, I think when we have a governor and lieutenant governor willing to listen and care about this deeply, you know, it helps. Their Secretary of Environmental Affairs has been to the beach. And, you know, we're meeting with her and her staff on a regular basis. That makes a lot of difference.
Yeah. Jenny, anything else you want to share with us? Anything back to the district or anything else you want to share with us?
I feel so fortunate to represent this district. I think, you know, I'm biased. I think I have the best district in the Commonwealth, but with the best constituents, it's really such a privilege to have this job. It's a privilege to work every day to make it, someone's life a little easier. And, you know, I'll always be grateful for this opportunity.
As you were talking earlier, I'm thinking, you know, there in your job, you are dealing with so many different things, like and different layers of topics as well. Is there one topic, I got to throw this one at you, is there one issue or topic that's come up within a district or within in the next town from where you live or the others that kind of surprised you, that is something you might not have expected? Because I'm sure you expected all kinds of things to cross your desk, if you will. But anything kind of unusual that you didn't expect?
You know, I didn't, maybe I was naive, I didn't expect the number of people who are really hurting, who are housing insecure, or on the verge, you know, are on the verge of being evicted or are evicted. We get, I would say my office, the number one issue that we get calls about is housing. And as we talked about food insecurity, people are hurting. There's this, I think there's this perception, I certainly run into it in the state house where, you know, I represent Marblehead and Swampscott, so of course, you know, this is a wealthy district. It's really not the case. We have a lot of people, particularly seniors, who are hurting.
No, absolutely. I mean, the thing is, too, with Marblehead and Swampscott, I mean, two wealthy towns, not the two wealthiest necessarily in the state, but right there, I guess. But not everyone is wealthy in those towns.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Every town is, you know, whatever they are, they're people that live there, you know, families have lived in there for generations. They may not be those people. You know?
That's exactly right. And they live in homes that are older and they can't afford to fix them or heat them or pay the property taxes, but they don't want to leave either because they have nowhere to go because the communities are so expensive. And, you know, particularly with older people, they don't want to leave their doctors, their support network, their families. These are crushing choices.
Yeah, and they don't want to leave that shoreline either. For sure, it's beautiful, isn't it? Yeah.
Absolutely. It is beautiful, and that's another issue. The shoreline needs to be protected. But you and I will talk about that another time.
We'll save something for the next time.
Yeah.
All right, folks. All right. Well, Jenny, thank you so much for joining us again. It's been too long, and we'll make sure it's not that long moving forward. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining
us. Take care.
Yeah. Jenny Armeni, state rep from the 8th Essex District, Marblehead, Swampscott, and a piece of Lynn as well here on MSONewsSports.com.
Taparo Capital Management. It's time to craft your retirement plan. Click on the Taparo banner at the top right of our website and begin creating your winning game plan.